looking in Matthew chapter 5 still this morning as we think about whoever hears these words. That's the main theme for this series from the book of Matthew, whoever hears these words. And we're in that section that we began last week looking at these examples that Jesus gives about how and what it looks like for us to live righteous lives for God's glory, what that involves. And last week it was on a subject that many of us might struggle with, anger. And then today is one that we might also have one of those besetting sins or something that we really need to continue to submit to the Lord and say, I have difficulty in this area. And that's in the way that we look at other people and in regards to our lustful hearts and what Jesus has to say about that. We have questions about, well, how far is too far, and what does it look like for us as Christians to live out a pure life for the glory of God? What does it look like for us to be those people who are different than what the world would say we should be? How we conform, how we are squeezed into the image of God and not into the world's image. So when we think about purity, when we think about how we live our lives, it's one of those topics that is a challenge, but it's also important for us to be here this morning thinking about Jesus' words. Jesus did not mince words. He didn't skirt around an issue. He just hit it right on. And the Pharisees and the scribes had this way of getting around their immorality by thinking that if they didn't do the act itself, then they were not guilty before God. So we saw that last week. If they weren't angry with a brother, then they were saying, well, I didn't kill anybody. But Jesus says, if you even have that hatred, then you have been like one who has murdered somebody. And today, when we look at these words from Jesus about our devotion to God, Jesus says, you need to examine your heart once again, thinking about how you live your life. These are not easy words to hear. But we know something about Jesus, and that is this, that he loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know. His word tells me so. And little ones to him belong. And he wants us to see that we are weak, but he is strong. And he says things that we need to hear and we need to heed. And because he loves us, he's saying, this is how you should live your life for the glory of God. So listen to these words from Matthew chapter 5. Follow along. It's chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. I'm going to read these two sections, but really only focus in on the first one this morning. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Father, we pray that we would be having those ears to hear, and that we would hear what you are saying to us through your word. We recognize that this is counter to our culture, but we see that it was counter to Jesus' culture, his day and time as well, and that it's not much different. We pray that we would be different people, though, that we would be those who hear and follow you, Jesus, in this area. We would see that you love us so much, that you want the best for us, that you have provided a clear way for us. It's a difficult path, but it's one that you want us to follow by your will and by your work and grace in our lives. So help us to do that for your glory, we pray. Amen. Dearly loved of God, do you recognize that you are loved? Dearly loved, greatly loved. Paul writes in his letter to the church of Ephesus, you are greatly loved, dearly loved of God. We gather here today by God's grace. We are here to live for God's glory. We are here to consider the wonder of His Word to us. Like His disciples from this passage that I've just read, we sit now at Jesus' feet. We are ready to learn. We want to know what Jesus says, even when His words are hard to hear. Why? Because we know that Jesus speaks out of His deep love for us. First, Jesus tells us just how rebellious we are apart from His work. None of us does right. Even our lustful thoughts amount to adultery in our hearts. Second, Jesus tells us of a right way to go. It's a demanding path. And by God's grace, we will follow Jesus. We will follow His right way from this day forward. So the first thing I want us to notice is that we have a rebellious heart. And that's, I really believe, what Jesus is pointing out to the scribes and Pharisees. They were at the surface level. They were at the letter of the law, but they were not following the spirit of the law. So they were at this surface level of hearing and following God's word. They read it. They had a grasp of it. They even taught others to follow it, but they were not getting at the real issue, and that's their heart. Because they felt like, if I don't commit the act of adultery, then I'm not guilty. And Jesus says, your wicked heart will show that you are guilty before a holy God, because what you think and how that flows out, that if you even look with that lustful intent, and by the way, this connects with what Jesus says about divorce and remarriage, because they had also failed to connect the beauty and wonder of godly marriage and godly sexual relation. And they felt like, if something went wrong in my marriage, if my wife displeased me, and their law even allowed for something as ridiculous as if the wife burned the bread, that they could put her away. That was what they considered something as a grounds for divorce. And so it was really an effort for them to fuel their sexual appetite more and more and more. If that woman doesn't please me, if somehow she loses her beauty or her luster, then I'll push her aside and I'll take someone else. I'll covet what's not mine. I see that woman and I want her, so I'll divorce this wife and I'll take the next woman to be my wife. And Jesus says, that's not God's design. That's not God's intent. And I have to say that as a convention even, we have misplaced our view towards sexuality, and we've covered up at times these affairs that have happened within churches, and our wickedness is just not acceptable before God. And in the church, even in this city, we have those moments where people we've seen and leaders that we've looked up to, they've stumbled, they've fallen. And we need to be diligent to pray for each other as people of God, as people of the church, that we would be different, because the world's looking and they're saying, that's exactly what I thought. One more pastor, one more affair, one more fall, there's no difference. And Jesus says there should be a tremendous difference in the way we live our lives from this day forward. Maybe you have stumbled. Maybe you've been stumbling. Maybe you've been in areas where you know you shouldn't be. And you can say today, that's it. No more From this day forward, I will, by the grace of God, live differently. And Jesus gives us a way forward of how to do that. He's given us a clear picture of how we should live our lives. He says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. Well, that's true. But again, they were only getting at the idea that if I don't actually do the act of taking another man's wife, then I'm clear before God. And Jesus says, but I say to you, this is how the law is interpreted. Because I'm the one who wrote it, I'm the one who is interpreting it for you, that everyone, there's no wiggle room there, is it? Everyone who looks at a woman, and we could say anyone who looks at another person with lustful intent, who says, I want that person, has already committed adultery in his heart. Those are strong words, aren't they? There's no denying what it means here. We see and understand what it means. John Stott says that in their view, that they and their pupils had kept the seventh commandment, provided that they avoided the act of adultery itself. They thus gave a conveniently narrow definition of sexual sin and a conveniently broad definition of sexual purity. Jesus, however, is taking them to the spirit of law. He shows them the margin by which they missed the mark. Jesus says that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with that person in his heart. Why? The heart is a deceitful, desperately sick place, Jeremiah 17:9, that turns away from the Lord, Jeremiah 17:5. From the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders, Matthew 15:19. There is no one who is right before a righteous God. All of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But from this day forward, things can be different. Ask yourself, do I see the scope of my sin here? I'm not asking you to look anywhere else. Jesus wasn't. He's saying, if you know that this is your heart, then you need to examine your heart, not be looking at your brother's. He says, if you have done this in your heart, then you have fallen short of God's glory. Do you see the scope of your sin here? Ask yourself, do I see how far short of God's glory I fall here? Do I continue to entertain lust? Do I refuse to send it away? Where can I guard my heart here? Where and how can I develop godly discipline here? Where do I need to look more like Christ here? I'll just give you some practical things. These are not necessarily commandments. They're just principles. There's ways that I've tried to set sentries. And a sentry is someone who stands guard, right? So no one's going to pass this point. A security guard, if you will, that's saying, this is no entry beyond this point. So for me, things that have helped me guard my heart, because this is an area that I've definitely struggled in. I think back to when I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I've told you this before, of how my sister came. We were over at my aunt's house in Fort Worth, Texas, and she said, come here, I found something. And I'm like, what? And we go into my cousin's bedroom. He was much older, and he wasn't there at the time. He was either working or out. I don't even remember, but I just remember that moment that's still seared in my brain. I cannot get rid of some of the images that were in that moment of what she said that she had found and what I continued to look at, and that was a Playboy magazine. Not just one, but a stack. And it was like this thing that I didn't even know was in my heart was all of a sudden ignited, and I had to see more, and I wanted more, and it was this something forbidden that, wow, I didn't even know. And even to this day, I still have to put a guard against my eyes in my heart to look at people differently than what that moment seared into my brain and said, that's what you need to pursue. And God says, no. That's not the norm. That's not what you should go for. Go a different direction. So a century for me is that I now go to bed with my wife. I used to stay up. I used to stay up and watch television. And sometimes even the shows that I would kind of skirt through were a little sketchy. My heart wasn't where it needed to be. So now I just say, I'm going to bed. 9 o'clock rolls around and I'm in bed and it's delightful. I'm with my bride. We are there together and my heart is guarded because if I'm sleeping, I'm not going to be looking at stuff that I shouldn't be looking at. Right? It's a sentry. It's a guard on my heart. That's one. I also very diligently monitor my restfulness. And so when I'm tired, that's a moment when I'm more likely to fall into an area where I shouldn't be, and that is to click on certain websites or even think about certain things that I know that are not acceptable before the Lord. And so I monitor now very diligently if I'm a little less than at my peak with energy, and if I'm worn out, if I've worked harder than normal, if it's been an exhausting, mentally draining day or week, and I just guard that. I guard when I'm not preaching. So here in the next 2 weeks, after next week, you'll have to help me say, Pastor, how are you doing in the area of purity? Because when I'm not preaching, guess what? It's a little bit easier to say, well, you know, nobody's going to know. I feel like when I'm preaching, everybody kind of already sees it. But maybe I'm better at hiding stuff than I thought. I just have to be diligent. So all of these sentry points, what I'm saying is we need to set guards on our hearts. And that's what Jesus is saying here in this principle, is to set a guard. If you know that you think this, then set a guard. Just stop. From this day forward, set a guard around your heart. From this day forward, see people as ones made in God's image. From this day forward, see people as individuals of great worth, not as objects that you can take and do as you please. From this day forward, see people as those for whom Christ died. Rebellious, wicked heart. That's the broad path that Jesus talks about. That's the bad fruit that Jesus talks about. That's the unwise builder. That's the flimsy foundation that Jesus talks about. This rebelliousness that's in our hearts. But I also want us to pay attention here in these next verses to what Jesus says about that righteous heart. And it seems startling. It seems out of place, but I want us to see that it's really not. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. This is not the first time that we hear Jesus talking about the reality of a place that's set apart for those who do not live righteous lives. Now, he's not saying here that we can earn our salvation. He's saying as those who are blessed of God, as those who have been chosen of God, as those who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, he's saying that you're going to live differently. You're going to take this hard path. You're going to take this demanding path and show that you're serious about how much you love God by the actions that you take to ensure that you truly are one of his children. So Jesus is telling his disciples here in this dramatic way that if their eye or their hand causes them to stumble, that they need to do something. What is it? Well, the first is that if things that you look at cause you to sin, stop looking. That's the principle. He's saying if your most precious right eye causes you to stumble into sin, then stop looking. Do you see that? Just take it away. That seems So simple, doesn't it? If something's causing you to stumble, then stop looking. John Stott again, he says, behave as if you had actually plucked out your eyes and flung them away and were now blind and so could not see the objects which previously caused you to sin. So I don't know, maybe there are things that are still now causing you to stumble that you look at on a weekly, a daily basis. Maybe it's a certain television show. And maybe the principle is not just that lustful look or the greedy look, the coveting look, but it's any kind of look that is damaging to your relationship with God. And you say, I don't need that. Maybe for some it's to stop watching so much news. I don't know. Maybe it's stop seeing things that are a little sketchy with television. I also know that I've made a principle in my heart to rarely see any R-rated movie. It's just a principle. I'm not saying that you have to follow that principle. I'm just saying it's a principle that says most R-rated movies already tell you what the content is by the rating itself. It's language, and it's violence, and it's nudity. And there are probably things in there that any of us would have difficulty saying that Jesus would go and sit and watch that movie. So, just don't go. Just stop looking at anything that would not help your relationship grow toward the Father. And Jesus says, stop looking. If it causes you to stumble in sin, just tear it out. That's drastic, isn't it? Just stop looking. The freedom that comes from stopping that action. Again, I'm thinking about my childhood, and we didn't know, and I've told you this before too, I believe, that one time when I was probably fifth or sixth grade, that, or maybe even on up into upper middle school or even high school, I had the Sports Illustrated. And I didn't know because I think I even might have paid for it, or maybe my parents got it. But one day I came home and my mom said, you know, I don't know if I should let you see this issue that came in the mail today. I says, what is it? You know, that was the first thing. What is it that I shouldn't see? Well, it's this issue that's got women in it and they're in swimsuits. She was right. She should have held on to it because my heart took me to places that it shouldn't have been. I shouldn't have looked. And so even now, when I'm walking by the grocery store newsstands, I'll see it. Can't help but see Sports Illustrated, swimsuit edition. But the next movement, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, just as if you didn't have that hand. Again, if your hand or foot causes you to sin because temptation comes to you through your hands, the things you do, or your feet, places you visit, then cut them off. That is, don't do it. Don't go. Behave as if you had actually cut off your hand and feet and flung them away and were now crippled and so could not do the things or visit the places which previously caused you to sin. Here Jesus is calling us to faithful, immediate obedience. It's startling, but it's not surprising. Why? Because at other times Jesus urged his disciples to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow him. That's from Luke 9:23. This might seem like a radical path, yet Jesus shows it as the normal path for those who follow him. Jesus' disciples are different. Terry, you're different. Leslie, you're different. Michael, you're different. Derek, you're different. Lloyd, you're different. Debbie, you're different. Carl, you're different. Juana, you're different. You're different, Sal. You're different. Liz, thank you. Lizzie. Why did Bob? Liz, you're different, Marlene. You're different, Anna, Kevin, Karina, Brenda, Dale, Debbie, Wayne, Craig, Kevin, and our friends over here, Jeff and Sarah. You guys are different. Do you know that? Do you really know that in your heart? You're different. Sorry, Elizabeth, that Lizzie botched your name. It was like a huge blunder. The excitement of the moment, though, I want you to see just how precious you are. Jesus loves you. This I know. The Bible tells us so. Little ones. It's not just the little ones. It's us. We're the little ones. To Him belong. We are weak, and in our weakness we will trip and stumble and we'll keep going places that we shouldn't. We're repeating the garden scene all over again, where Eve sees and she takes. We're repeating the scene where David is on the rooftop and he sees and he takes. But that's not the way we should live. If we are truly His, then we will take these steps. We will follow Him. We will deny ourselves. We will see that Jesus' disciples are different. We are those whom God blesses. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so we must guard our hearts. Job said in Job 31, verse 1, that he's made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look at a woman with less than pure intent. He said, "How I've set this covenant, then how can I look at someone who is a virgin with this lustful desire?" That's kind of the meaning behind what he was saying. I've made a covenant with my eyes. And we read in Colossians, and I'll take us back there again, Colossians chapter 3. "Therefore, put to death the members of your body. Put these things to death: immorality, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." Guard our hearts. We are those who must be pure in heart. We must stop. We must completely put away any lustful thought or deed that makes us stumble. Ask yourself, do I believe Jesus here? Do I take Him at His word here? Do I take quick measures to guard my heart? Do I move immediately to stop completely putting away any lustful thought or deed? Am I obeying Jesus here? Do I deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Him? You've heard it said that you can marry or not marry, that you can say marriage is whatever you say it is, that you can have any type of sexual relation that you desire, so long as it's what you want. We've kind of gone to that place because we've made it about ourselves. Just this Friday, I was very cautious and even trying to look at these statistics, and it's just overwhelming. It's heartbreaking, actually, to think about what we in America do with our entertainment. And it shouldn't come as any surprise that many of our top websites are filled with pornography. That many of the things that people do with their spare time is looking at pornography. That some children ages 13 to 24 and young adults were asked about some different values, and they saw that to not recycle is a worse thing to do than to look at pornography. There's all kinds of statistics out there that show us what Jesus tells us right here, and that is that we have a wicked heart that needs to be redeemed. And it's in danger of hellfire if we continue to live as if we can do anything we want to. That shows disregard for the grace of God, the mercy of God, and says, well, because I said a prayer one time, then that makes me good and I can do anything I want to from that point on. It's not the case. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do as I ask. And he's asking us here, if this is a problem, and for many of us it is, if it's a problem, then do something to show that you really are in love with me, that you will live a life that pleases the Father. We're free. We're free. If we're in Christ, we're free. We're not in bondage. We're not obligated to keep living this life any longer. Church, from this day forward, say no to your lingering eye. Say no. From this day forward, say no to your lurid imagination. From this day forward, say no to your hand that may click an enticing website. From this day forward, stop any lustful thought. From this day forward, stop any lustful deed. By God's grace, we will follow Jesus in the path that He set before us. And by God's grace, we will live for God's glory from this day forward. Let's pray. Lord God, we recognize that you are the one that we need. Not the things that are the enticements that are right out there, the quick click, the immediate satisfaction of some image on a screen. Lord God, even our look can be so vile, the way we see other people. Please forgive us and change our hearts. Let us live differently. Let us see how much you love us and want us to live in honor of the Father. Lord God, our world, apart from you, we're in such hurt. Our hearts take us to wicked places. There's many good things out there, but there's also much that's vile and just offensive to you. And we rebelled against you. We have sinned against you. Lord God, please be patient. Give time for people to turn from their sin and turn to you, to see that hell is real, to recognize your patience, your desire that none perish. I pray, God, that we would be bold in our lifestyle, that we would be ones that quickly turn away from any of this stuff that's against you. Father, give our leaders in this country courage. Give our pastors strength and a resolve to live pure lives, and help us not to cover up any wickedness in our midst. Lord God, would you please heal anyone in this room that is hurting right now, that's been away from you? Would you bring them close to you once more by your work? Lord God, would you help us all to be aware of where we need to set guards, and that we would follow you in obedience? God, I thank you that it's not our work, it's yours. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen.